Hi, friend, and welcome to the Unapologetic Entrepreneur Podcast, a place for passionate entrepreneurs just like yourself who are looking to create a business that integrates into your life instead of taking over it. So let me ask you something. How would it feel to unapologetically chase your definition of success? See, I'm on a mission to do this, and I want you to come along with me in becoming an unapologetic entrepreneur. This is someone who has defined success on their terms and is committed to setting boundaries and making progress towards achieving that success. I'm your host, Amanda McKinney, and after several years of entrepreneurship, I found myself chasing someone else's definition of success, and I actually couldn't answer the question, what does success look like for you, Amanda? This started me on a journey to understanding this answer for myself, and I now understand that our definition of success, it evolves over time. But the key is to always know what our definition is in each season of our life. And on this podcast, I am dedicated to exploring how other entrepreneurs have shown up unapologetically and sharing my journey, of course, too. So pop in those earbuds so we can explore topics such as success, goals, mindset, of course, marketing, and money. You will walk away inspired through stories and ready to take action through clearly defined steps. So let's dig in. Hi, friend. So I have a question for you. Do you know what an offsite is? Like when I say that term offsite, do you know what I'm talking about? And if it made you cringe a little, then you probably had not so great experiences in the corporate world with offsites. But if you have no clue what I'm talking about, I do want to explain what this is because it ties into today's episode. So in corporations, they have these things called offsites where either the department or the entire company sometimes goes to a different location offsite from where they typically work and they do business planning. Now, sometimes these are great and filled with discussion and connection and forward planning, and other times they are filled with, I'm using the term team building activities in quotes here, because no one really wants to do them, and they're pretty awful usually. I don't know why. Again, sometimes you can have really great ones, but usually when I say the term offsite and people are like, oh my gosh, like you had a bad experience with a team building activity. I am specifically remembering one that when I tell you the story, you're going to be like, how is that even something that happened to you? And I swear this is real. So imagine this. I'm in this offsite. I'm in this big conference room. And the facilitator, whoever it was, I don't even remember, breaks us up into groups and says, okay, we're going to have this group work, but we need to identify who is going to be the leader in the group. And sometimes they'll do like, you know, who's the oldest, who's the youngest, birthday, or, you know, different things like this. Nope, this person did not choose that method. They chose a very freaking weird method that I will never forget. We're all standing in a circle and they say, okay, everyone, like one person at a time, open your mouth. This is so weird to even say this. I can't even believe this is real. Open your mouth and other people will stare into your mouth and count how many fillings you have. And the person with the most fillings in your teeth is the leader. I would give anything to see your face right now because I looked at that facilitator like they had 13 heads. I remember thinking, is this real? I have to open my mouth and let people stare into my mouth. This is so freaking uncomfortable. We probably just had breakfast, you know? It was awful. Anyways, I didn't want to do it. No one wanted to do this, nor would I ever ask anyone to ever do that. All this to say, that's the reason that I led with the idea of, do you hate offsites, basically? Because most people have a story similar to what I just shared. If you don't, congratulations, because you have somehow managed to not have an experience like that, which is great. In today's episode, I am not talking about those awful team building activities. What I'm talking about is how we as entrepreneurs, most likely solo entrepreneurs at first, maybe you've got some contractors or a small team, but most often, like we're by ourselves. And what I want you to do is to think about how big corporations do these offsites. I mean, they spend a ton of money on these. Everyone flies to a remote location of some sort. Maybe it's in the same city, but most of the time, I mean, it's this thing that costs a ton of money. We don't necessarily have the big budget to spend, but we don't need it. We don't need the big budget to get the big benefit. When I left corporate, I remember thinking, how am I going to do this by myself? But I knew that there were elements of the offsite that were so helpful, one of which is getting away from your freaking desk. It is super helpful, but you have to really think creatively when you don't have a huge budget, and you have to be the facilitator and the planner and the implementer most of the time. So I'm going to walk you through a process that I use, which I call quarterly business check-ins. I do this every 90 days. Sometimes I do this alone, and more often than not, I do this with some of my biz besties. So I'm going to talk about both sides of the coin here because they're both awesome, and you have to most likely be flexible with how you approach this. And I am so excited to share this with you. I've talked about it a few times in podcasts or blogs or videos, but this is something that I really have encouraged all of my students to do. So if you've learned from me, you know that I am hammering in the idea of 90-day goals and then quarterly check-ins, because these two things go hand in hand and they are super duper helpful. So it's something that I love to do, and you never know, maybe there'll be something in the future by the time you're listening to this, maybe, I don't know, of where I can coordinate a quarterly business check-in, like in a workshop style. We'll see. I'm not promising anything, but here's what I can promise. If you would like my support in any capacity, maybe it's a workshop, maybe it's one-on-one coaching, maybe it's something else, you can see all of my coaching options on my website at amandamckinney.com/coaching. So if I do any type of quarterly planning type of a deal, it will be on there because it would be a bigger group, but we could walk through this process together. So I'm just putting myself on the spot in the middle of a podcast conversation. So we'll see what happens after that. But you can go to amandamckinney.com/coaching, and I promise you will have information there. But today we're going to talk about what option is best for you and how to go about planning this entire thing of a quarterly business check-in. So let's dive in. So first up, let's talk about the goal of a quarterly business check-in. Simply put, this is planning for the next 90 days in your business. We don't need to overcomplicate this. But like I mentioned in the intro, there is one key element that cannot be ignored, and it is to step away from the day-to-day activities. I really encourage you to get away from the location that you typically work in. Now, I have tons of ideas for this, so I promise you, you do not have to book a flight for this. You can if that fits into your budget, but you don't have to. But the key is that you really want to get away from the day-to-day. Because if you are in the same routine, like, you will not be able to plan in the best way. Your mind will just be in the day-to-day. And I say this because I have tried. Trust me, I have tried to do this many times. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to block out this time and I'm going to do this. And I am really dedicated and driven in that way that I can usually focus in on something like that. No, if I am sitting in the same spot that I work in every single day, I am checking email like normal, in which I do not recommend doing that. And I'm doing all the day-to-day stuff. I get caught up. I'm starting to do laundry. I'm doing all these things, and it is not helpful for the actual planning. So I really want to encourage you to think through stepping away from the day-to-day, but the goal is really to plan the next 90 days in your business. The next thing I want to talk about is why quarterly? So most people think about this annually, and that's fine. Especially when we go back to that example of like corporate offsites, it's once a year. They're not doing this every 90 days. And that's generally because it costs a fortune to do what they're doing. And we don't have to operate like that. You know, we are not in the corporate setting because that's not what we wanted. So quarterly is much better for us in terms of a smaller business that is really very agile and trying to figure things out. If you do your planning once a year, that is a huge freaking gap in terms of how much you're doing in between the planning. And you just have a hard time, and I'll say not just you, it's all of us. We have a hard time planning for an entire year because our brains really struggle with that. So 90 days is a much better situation for setting goals and for doing the planning. This allows you to not get too far down a path and then look back and be like, what the heck was I thinking? For the last 12 months, I have been chasing this thing or down this path that just didn't serve me, and we get too far down the road. 90 days is a great amount of time to be like, this is what I'm going to focus on for 90 days. And then you're like, what worked, what didn't, how do I move forward? It's just much better for this stage of your business. And, you know, as my business grows, I highly think that, like, I will continue down the 90-day goal path. I don't think it's like you get to a certain spot and it's like, okay, we'll do this annually. I think maybe you do something different on an annual basis, but I still think 90 days will always be something that I do, no matter how big a company I ever have. So this allows you that short-term kind of planning and seeing incremental changes along the way. So now let's talk about where to host this. So I told you offsite is the benefit here of getting away from your day-to-day. So you want to do this somewhere else other than where you typically work, but you don't have to book a flight, although you can. And seriously, that's the goal, right? Of like, I hope everyone has the goal of like, I hope one day I do my quarterly business check-in in insert your location, right? Like, have a goal to do something big, and that will be really fun because you'll be able to celebrate the heck out of it when it actually does happen. But for now, we can do this in a very budget-friendly way. So here are ways that I have either done this or encouraged others and seen it done. So one is to go to a co-working space for the day. Now, all you have to do is get a day pass. Sometimes they're even free, and go to a co-working space. There is usually open air spaces that you can use. Sometimes there's conference rooms you can book. There's a lot of options with co-working spaces, and it gets you out of your current office or house or whatever. Another idea is a coffee shop or a library. So those are like, you buy the coffee and pastry or something, or you have a library card. And so very doable from a budget standpoint. And you go, you set yourself up, put your earbuds in, and get after it. Also, and you're going to giggle at this one, depending on what your backyard is like, but I have done this. Take your notebook and your laptop outside. Go in your backyard, sit in your backyard. It's a different location. You don't even have to drive anywhere. It's in your backyard. If you live in an apartment or a place with like shared spaces, like go to the shared space, but just put in your earbuds and just go to a different location. You can go to a park and do the same thing. Again, you can go at an off time. There's probably not that many people there. Put your blanket down, bring your lunch. You're good to go. You can also, if you have biz besties like I do, and you want to coordinate with other people, you can go to one of their houses. So I would encourage you to talk about this with your biz besties and say like, okay, whose house do we want to go to? And you can rotate. And the person's house that you go to, like, they're aware that they're in the same space. However, they're not in the same mindset because there's other humans that are there and will help you stay on task. So this is when it works. Like, I have done this in my house as well as other of my friends' houses, and it works every time because it's a different feel. Like, I'm not going to go check my email when I have two other people sitting in my office and we're doing business planning. Like, that's rude. I'm not going to do that. And so it helps me stay on task. Another thing you can do is booking an Airbnb or a hotel room for a night or two. This is my favorite way. Just personally, you do not have to do this, but this is my favorite way that I have done this with many biz besties, and I love it so much. I have two biz besties that we've done this several times. So what we do very specifically is once a year, we book an Airbnb, and this is just us, so you can do whatever you want to do, but we find an Airbnb that is very pretty, that we want to take pictures in. So the pictures you've seen on social media, they're from an Airbnb, and we choose a Airbnb that we think is pretty, and we find one where we have our own rooms, we have our own bathrooms, and we allow ourselves like ample amount of space for ourselves because we're together a lot and we love each other, of course, but you know, we also enjoy alone space. And so know who you're traveling with, that sort of thing. But we book an Airbnb and we have it for the weekend once a year. And then throughout the year, we get together at someone's house or a location that we've decided on for the other check-ins every 90 days. So there's four in the year and one is at a remote location and the other three are at someone's house or a coffee shop or something. And so that's how we do it on a 90-day incremental space, but we get away for a weekend once a year. And that works really well for us. You can also rent a hotel conference room for the day. So this, it depends on the hotel, but sometimes they're pricey, sometimes they're not, but you can book a conference room, especially on like a random Tuesday. They're probably really inexpensive. You get the space and you can get out of your home or your office. Another thing you can do is purchase a day pass to a hotel or a spa that have common areas where you can work. Now, some places this would not work, but some places it would. You could go to a spa for the day or be in a hotel location that maybe their lobby is really cool. And sometimes you can just sit in a hotel lobby for a little bit. I'm not telling you to go do that. They might think it's a little weird, but you could definitely do that and ask if you need to rent a space or not. Another thing is you could house sit for a friend. So let's say someone's going out on a vacation and they're like, hey, would you house sit for us or dog or cat sit or whatever? And you're like, absolutely. Take that opportunity to allow that to be your planning time as well, because you're in a different location, even though it's a friend's house. So that's a really nice way to do it too. The key with picking a place is to know what's in your budget and also know what you need in terms of a type of environment. So as I just listed some of those, maybe you thought, oh gosh, I cannot do a coffee shop. There's too many people. You know, if you know that about yourself, don't go to a coffee shop. Like rent the Airbnb or find a quiet park, whatever you need to do. Some people like being outside. Some people like being inside. Some people like, you know, working with others, et cetera. You know what you need in terms of the environment and then look at your budget and then pick a place. So now it's time to plan your actual quarterly check-in. So this is very exciting. So now you know you've got some ideas about where it could be and what this is all about. But now it's time to decide, okay, do I want to do this alone or with other people? This is the key, and it does not matter. I have done it both ways. Both ways are successful. I prefer doing this, the planning part of things, with other people. That is me personally, but I have definitely done it alone because sometimes you can't coordinate schedules, you know, like sometimes it just happens that way. Life happens. It's okay. It doesn't mean you can't plan, you know, I mean, we can figure these things out. So either way is fine. So if you're going to do this on your own, what you want to do is step one is to pick a date. You are in control of your schedule most of the time. And I understand there's other factors in our life that control our schedule, but look at your schedule, pick a date that works. And in terms of timing, it just depends. You'll find what works best for you. When I do this on my own, it's just a few hours. Like I would pick the morning because I operate really well in the morning. So I would get my coffee and go somewhere and like basically from like 8 a.m. to noon or something. So a handful of hours. And by the time I'm hungry, I'm like, okay, time to pack up. Or I can sit there for longer if I go to a coffee shop or something. And so pick a day that works for you. If you're doing this on your own, about half a day, a handful of hours if you can, and that gives you ample time. Then you want to ensure, so step two is really ensuring that everyone is aware, that needs to be aware, that you're going to be unreachable for that period of time. So if you have a team, you need to tell them and prep for that. If you have family members that are going to be impacted, let them know, hey, from 8 to noon, I am unreachable. My phone is going to be on airplane mode. I am not going to be reachable, but I will call you at noon and check in or whatever the case is. Just let people know because this is the important thing. If you don't, you will get distracted by someone. Someone's going to interrupt you. So just make sure they know because it's not their fault if they interrupt you and you didn't tell them. Not their fault at all. It is if you told them and then they interrupt you for not an emergency. So then step three is to do the prep work. These are the things you want to do so that when you sit down for your business check-in, that's not the time you want to be like pulling data that you want to reflect on. The planning time is more of like reading information, compiling information, making decisions. So you want to do as much of the pre-work as possible. So for me, this looks like pulling information. This is how much revenue I made. This is some marketing stats, you know, these types of data pulling information. Everything is accessible in a Google Doc or a spreadsheet or something for me, so that all I have to do is look at it. Then you want to really be super duper clear before your check-in on what you want to walk away with. So ask yourself, obviously you're going to set a 90-day goal. Like, that's clear. We're going to set a 90-day goal when you're doing quarterly planning. But what is the thing that you want to walk away with? Do you have a question? Like, oftentimes for me, it's like, this thing in my business is not feeling right. I need to make a decision about what to do with this thing, whatever it is. Or, you know what? I really want to focus on growing my email list next 90 days. How do I want to do that? Because there's a million ways. I need to decide which one. So I want to walk away with a plan for growing my email list in next quarter. So I get really, really clear on what that is. And so that's what I want you to know. I want you to pull all the data that you'll need to make an informed decision and then understand what you want to walk away with. Then, most importantly, when you are doing this on your own, take this time seriously. If you go into this with like a, it doesn't matter, I'm just going to fiddle around for a few hours and pretend to plan or plan haphazardly with my business, like, that's not going to be effective use of your time. So take this seriously. Take it seriously like you worked for a corporation and this was your job, because it is. If you fail to plan, then you're not going to achieve the goal that you want to. So take this seriously. It's just a few hours, but it's really important to do this. And my pro tip for when you're doing this alone is that I highly recommend that you tell someone that you're doing it and what you want to get out of it so that you have accountability. This could be a spouse, this could be a biz bestie, this could be a friend, it could be anyone. They don't have to be there with you. So if I said to my husband, Michael, hey, honey, I'm going to be out of pocket from 8 to noon on this day. I'm doing business planning. And he's like, okay, great. Thank you for telling me. And I'm like, also, after that, in that afternoon, I would like to do a data dump with you and tell you my answer to this question. I want to know exactly how I'm going to grow my email list over the next 90 days. Please let me tell you what happened and what I've planned and if I ran into any roadblocks. He'd be like, okay. Then he totally forgets about it because it's not his job. And I come back and I tell him and he's like, oh, that's a really cool idea. Did you ever think about this? It's just accountability, and then you get usually some bonus ideas from the person who's excited for you. So that's what I would suggest if you're doing this alone. If you're doing what I'm calling a supported quarterly business check-in, this is when you need to identify who you're going to work with. And the rest of the steps are really similar. But the first step in this is that you need to identify who you want to work with. What type of support do you need? So you can really go at this as like, you can hire someone like a coach. Let's say you were like, you know what? Amanda's done this a million times. I just want to work with Amanda. Okay. You reach out to me and you say, Amanda, I want to book a 1-hour call with you and work through my quarterly business check-in. And I'd be like, okay, 1 hour is really short, but we can do it. Like, here's what you're going to have to do before and come into the meeting with versus doing it on the spot for 4 hours. Now, if you wanted to work with me for 4 hours or any type of coach for 4 hours, you can do that. You can reach out to them and say, hey, I'd really like to hire you for 4 hours to do this. And then they work with you. So find the coach if that's what you want to do and have one-on-one support. Or you can do what I do often, which is the biz bestie route. So you find people, you do not have to travel. I would not suggest traveling with someone for the first time. I would do this a few times before I went on a trip with someone. But you find your biz besties who you're already talking to about business and you say, hey, can we get together on a quarterly basis? Let's just do this to plan for the next 90 days, like only plan one at a time. And then you're like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to walk away with, that sort of thing. And you get a time on the calendar. So this is the harder part of coordinating with multiple people's calendars, is you have to find a time. This might be a weekend. It might be an evening. Like, it might not be ideal for your schedule, but trust me, it is wonderful to meet with other people and spend this amount of time. Now, it's more time because everyone needs several hours. So, for example, there's usually three of us who do this together every 90 days, and we take a full weekend, so it's really like a day and a half, but we're there for two nights, and we break it up to where everyone has their own time during one of the days. So usually we go on a Friday, we enjoy the evening, make some dinner. Saturday is business planning. Sunday, it's a little bit of fun. We have breakfast and head home. So Saturday is the planning day. So we take a full day and we split it up between three people. Also, we eat food during the day as well. So it's not all business planning, but the majority of the day is. When we do the 90-day check-ins throughout the year that are just like at someone's house, it's also several hours. So each person usually gets an hour to an hour and a half where we talk through things and answer each other's questions. So I would budget time-wise about an hour and a half per person. And of course, you need breaks in between as well. So plan that out accordingly. Of course, you could do this shorter, but that's the time suggestion I would give you. So once you have it on the calendar, you ensure that your family members, your team members, everyone knows you're unreachable for that period of time, whether it's a day or a weekend. And then you do the prep work, just like DIY style. You collect the data, you know what you want to walk away with, you identify what you need to know. And then again, taking this time seriously, work with people who are going to show up and actually do planning instead of just keeping everyone distracted. So work with people that are going to take this seriously. And then what I highly suggest when you're working with other people is that before you leave your time together, what you want to do is plan the next one. So you look ahead on the calendar and you say, okay, we're going to get back together in 90 days and do this again. Because that's going to help accountability, because then you're going to actually do the things that you have on your list. So when it comes to what to actually talk about during this time, I have a checklist of things that I would suggest to you. So the first thing is what I call your You Promise Check-In. So this comes from my book, Why Not You? An Accidental Entrepreneur's Guide to Success. So if you're curious about that, be sure to check that out at amandamckinney.com/book. But here's what I want you to ask yourself. One, are you still connected to your why for being an entrepreneur? Two, are you living your core values? Whatever you've outlined for your business and yourself, are you still living those? Three is, does your definition of success still resonate with you? Number four, on a scale from 1 to 5, how are you doing with the boundaries you've set in order to achieve success? Number six, how have you utilized your support system in the last 90 days? Number seven is to review your progress log and celebrate all the progress you've made over the last 90 days. And then eight is to set your 90-day goal. So again, this all comes from my book. If you're confused about any of that, go check that out because I go into deep, obviously, information about each of those things. But that's the overall, like you want to check in with yourself first. More than the data of the business, you need to check in with yourself. Then you dive into financial. What is your top revenue stream over the last 90 days? What revenue stream do you want to focus in the next 90 days? And is there anything that you need to adjust related to your finances? So maybe you have some expenses you need to cut. Maybe if you use profit first, you need to adjust your percentages. There's a lot of things that can go into this, but you want to have a really close eye on your finances. You don't necessarily have to share this with other people if you don't want to, but you really want to have a real understanding of what's going on, like what's coming in, what's going out of your business. Then I would suggest that you think about overall in your business and ask yourself, what has brought me joy over the last 90 days? And then also ask yourself, what has brought you stress over the last 90 days, specifically related to business? Then ask yourself this, how can I adjust things in my business to encourage more joyful activities and less stressful activities? Now we have to do both in our business. It's not that stressful activities just need to always go away, but you can often adjust things to make it less stressful. So now you know why to do a quarterly business check-in, how to do it, who to do it with, where to do it. And I want you to get this on the calendar. this is the time to do it. Like, we are at the quarterly mark of the year. Get it on the calendar. Start doing this. Do this every 90 days. I really want you to walk through this process because you will then be able to see those incremental changes throughout your business and actually achieve your business goals that you have set. So I want you to do this right now. Pause this, stop this episode, go get to your calendar and put something on the calendar. You can do this alone, you can do this with other people, but I promise you it will be so impactful. So until next time, give yourself permission to do a business check-in and grace along the way. I'll talk to you soon.